Our culture is disintegrating. World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, Clay's a grandpa. Clay's a new grandpa here this morning. Actually, yesterday, I think it was. Welcome, Clay. Glad to hear it. In fact, my grandson had his third birthday yesterday. I think your son came in on the same day. So, man, oh, man, oh, man. And, you know, you go through all the stages of life. You think about when you're growing up, your preteen years, and then your teen years, and your college years, and then your early years, and when you get a job for the first time and start a family, and, you know, get in the middle of a career. And I don't know if there's anything like grandparenthood. I don't know. I mean, I'm just telling you, if you've never been a grandparent. So Declan yesterday, you remember little Declan was a guy who was in the, who was born, he was in the hospital for 40 some days, I think it was, went from the womb to the hospital because his intestines weren't connected to his stomach. And Sirius had surgery. He had surgery the next day, reattach it in there. Yesterday was his third birthday, and we were all together. Didn't happen all the time. All of our 10 grandchildren were there. And I'm sitting there at age 71 and a half, three quarters actually, and I'm kind of looking around thinking, man, they don't get much better than this. You don't get much better than this. You know, really one of the sad things that we've done, we've permitted to have happened, is we no longer appreciate offspring. In our culture, in our society, I'm talking about. I hear pastors, I hear churches sometimes. I heard sermons in churches where pastors tell people not to have children until they're financially stable. And I guess there's some truth in that. But really? God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Michelle and I had three children. We should have had 38. Just a number I threw out. So look back over. I can't afford three, let alone 38, right? But you make it. And then you're 71 years old, and you look around and say, my goodness, what would life be without that guy, and without that guy, and without that little one? And we don't value family anymore. We don't. When was the last sermon you heard in your church on be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth? When was the last sermon you heard in your church with a pastor standing in the pulpit and telling the people, have children? Have children. And I'm going to make a connection here all of a sudden, just from the Holy Spirit. It didn't come from any place else. It's our eschatology. It's our end time eschatology. And I don't want to start a fight on that thing. I don't want to start a fight on that. But if you think the world's going to disappear, you think the world's going to disappear in the next year and a half, you're not going to have children. If you think the world's going to disappear here in the next 10 years, you're not going to have children. Why would you do that? Why would you want to have children and have them maybe not get saved and be left around and the rapture takes place and they're gone? Our eschatology has killed us. When Jesus said, occupy till I come, I don't know if you noticed this or not, foreigners are occupying us. Foreigners are occupying us. I'm going to show you some stuff going on here about the open border. Why the open borders? Why do we have open borders? Well, we have open borders. Really, it's a political issue. But the reality of it is, we killed how many millions of human beings? Christians. We killed millions and millions of little babies. And so we need workers. We need cheap labor. We need all that stuff. And so the borders are open because we've been killing babies, and they're trying to replenish it. Well, there's more to it than that, but that's a lot of it. That's a lot of it. What's going on here in Springfield, Ohio? I may get into that. In the heartland, right here in the heartland. But not having children? We idolize Taylor Swift. Really? We idolize Oprah. When, how many children does Oprah have? Same number as Taylor Swift. Are we telling young girls to have children? Are we telling young men to have children? Are we doing what the Lord told us? Huh? Be fruitful. It's first commandment. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Replenish the earth. Well, kill a bunch of babies in America and then replenish it with people coming across the border. I mean, it is one. Hey, good morning. It's actually, I'm having a good day. Glad to be up. Appreciate all of you being in here with us today. I got some really, really good stuff I want to try to dive into here if we get a chance. As I said, it was Declan's third birthday yesterday. We had a big birthday party. All 10 of the grandkids were there. And just, wow. What a phase of life to be in. And I was kind of quickened today. Well, let me go to number four real quick. Go to number three. It doesn't matter. Number three. Midwestern boomtown claims more migrant refugees can help sustain rapid economic growth. Are you kidding me? This is the Daily Mail. And they're talking about the largest city in Ohio is lurking to attract more migrant refugees. What? Yeah, what would that be? Would that be Columbus? Columbus, Ohio? Which already has 900,000. I'm reading it. That's why I'm looking up here. Already have 900,000 residents, was recently named fast growing metro area in the country. Do you know that? Columbus, Ohio, fastest growing metro area in the country. Wow. And how are they doing it? Why? Wow. Donald Trump won by 8 points in 2020. But there are real concerns for Ohio, how the city might meet the needs of the sudden influx of refugees. One Republican, Bernie Moreno, took to X last month, claiming that because of current administrative policies, the migrants have destroyed Ohio communities. Scrolling down, Columbus, Ohio. That's right down the road from me, right? Huh? There's Mayor Ginther, right? But we'll go back there. Mayor Ginther, Democratic Mayor Andrew Ginther, has made the place a sanctuary city. Huh? What? Columbus, Ohio? Are you kidding me? The heart of it all? They're talking about all the migrants that are coming in to Columbus, Ohio? No. Wouldn't be happening here, would it? They wouldn't want to turn Ohio blue, would they? By the way, could Ohio turning blue be one of the consequences of the red people not having babies? Wonder if that would be. Hey, Spencer, quit stretching there, man. Pull up the next one there. Pull up Springfield, Ohio. Which Springfield, Ohio is just, it's about 40 miles west of Columbus. Can't take it anymore. Residents of Springfield, Ohio beg for help. 20,000 Haitians overwhelm the city, eat local wildlife. Let me tell you what they're doing, folks. These Haitians are in Springfield, Ohio, home of Wittenberg University, between Dayton and Columbus. Look, see what that guy's doing? He's carrying one of those geese that you see in ponds everywhere around all 50 states. You know what I'm talking about? These Haitians are capturing these geese and eating them. Oh, yeah. Other wildlife, too. Scroll on down there a second. Scroll on down. I'm trying to make you aware of something. Here's a, well, listen, I want you to hear this black racist guy, okay? I wonder if anybody's calling this guy a racist. He's black. He shows up at the city council meeting. Black, let's see. Would it be safe to say, let me ask him, can a black man be racist? Can a black man be racist against Mexicans? Is that possible? Huh? Play this real quick.
I think it's like kind of odd that like a guy like me has to come out from doing what I do on a daily basis to have fun, because I see what's going on in these streets, and I see you guys just sitting up there in them comfy chairs and suits, and I'm getting out here every day. And I'm broadcasting this, and you guys are just sitting up there in suits or something. Like, I really challenge you guys to get out here and do something. These Haitians are running into trash cans. They're running into buildings. They're running into, they flipping cars in the middle of the street. And I don't know how, like, y'all can be comfortable with this. Like, I don't know, like, who's getting paid from this. I feel like, honestly feel like someone's getting paid from it in
you
the
racist.
Background.
You hate Mexicans,
they
you
dropping,
racist.
They, you got a bunch of people on a bus getting dropped off at a gas station to come down here. I know a single mom that FaceTimed me tonight, FaceTimed me this morning at the welfare office that really needs something. And it's nothing but immigrants over there. And I don't even want to, like, seem like I'm coming down on the immigrants because it's the people that's bringing them down here. Because wherever they're at, that's what they're used to, bro. They're in the park grabbing up ducks by their neck and cutting their head off and walking off with them and eating them. Like, y'all get the Highway State Patrol down here every week, and then y'all get like a task force for the Highway State Patrol. And they look for guns and they look for dope and this and that and the fourth. That same people that y'all got. So I'm doing U-turns, pulling people over for blinkers and pulling people over for, like, going left to center and, like, a couple miles over. Like, y'all can take them same people, the Highway State Patrol, and you can take them in every single one of their Silver Chargers and Dodge Durangos, and y'all can take them to Sunset, and y'all can park them right over there, and y'all can teach people how to drive since the Highway State Patrol know so much about traffic laws and know what to do in traffic. They need to – y'all pay them. They can go over there and teach.
You get it off there. Hey, folks. Coming to a city near you. This is Midwest. I can't even tell you how Springfield is Midwest America. Midwest America. This is happening right here, right now. See what's going on? Well, they call you a racist and homophobe and bigot if you stand up against it. I got some stuff I want to show you today. Okay, hang in there with me. Yeah, Donna Hodge, she lives over in there. She's in fear. Michelle's supposed to go. Michelle, my wife, has a friend that she goes and visits in Springfield, an elderly lady. So Michelle does the good Christian thing and goes and visits this elderly lady a couple times a year, three times, maybe four times a year. And she's scheduled to go there. And I said, hey, don't go. Don't go to Springfield. Well, she says, well, it's safe in certain parts of it. Yeah, I said, it's safe in certain parts, though it isn't safe. How long does it take for a safe place to all of a sudden not be safe? I know I'm a bigot, homophobe, right? Huh? But they can't stop the immigrants because they're out writing speeding tickets. Those cops are out writing speeding tickets. We're in a world of hurt here, folks. We're in a world of hurt. Okay, I'm gonna anybody got a comment on that before I get in too deep? Because I'm gonna circle back around here. Anybody got anything you want to say regarding this? And what should we be doing? Huh? That you show up to city council meeting and the city councils, they are there. You show up to school board meetings, you show up city council meetings, and they do not, they're unresponsive to what you do. You get through speaking, Jeff Klein gets his 3 minutes, and they say, thank you, Mr. Klein, and then nothing ever happens, right? Nothing ever happens. You know why nothing ever happens? Because I'm going to get into it here in a minute. I promise. Go ahead, Joe Allen, and then Jack, and then no more because I'm going to go a different direction. Go, Joe.
There are no states in the United States that has not been affected by this. Down here in the South, they're going into grocery stores and stealing the women's purse from the carts.
By the way, Joseph, some of them brought in here by Catholic social services, Lutheran social services. A lot of these people are being brought in. They're getting money from the government to bring them in, Joe, just so you know. Go ahead.
My wife doesn't leave the house without me.
Mm-hmm. Amen, babe. Amen. Jack.
Okay, so the definition of vigilantism is taking the law into your own hands.
Right.
So who's the vigilante? The cops and policymakers and judges who take the law into their own hands and ignore the law, or you and I who go out and bust that drug dealer in the face.
Yeah, but you'll be arrested. If you go take the law into your own hands, Jack, they're going to arrest you for taking the law into your own hands, but they won't do the law. So, folks, I believe this is happening on purpose. I'm going to get into that.
Yep.
Continue, Jack. I'm sorry.
No, that's the purpose. That's the whole idea. We got to call them out. They are the vigilantes. So if I punch that drug dealer in the face, I'm going to get arrested because I took the law into my own hands. But they take the law into their own hands by not arresting and choosing to specifically not to arrest, not to enforce the immigration laws, not to enforce the drug laws. They are the vigilantes. We are the lawful.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so pull up for me real quickly. Pastor confronts woke school board. Huh? I've never been on the school board. What are they afraid of? I'm going somewhere. Stay with me today, okay? Stay with me today. I'm taking you someplace, I promise. Go ahead.
This is the liberal shake and bake. This is how they move their agenda forward.
As a pastor.
You all have a citywide emergency, right? The citywide emergency is me. Someone comes to town with a differing viewpoint, and you all come up with a makeshift plan to shut him down so he can't speak. I go to white school board, and the white people who know that I'm coming, they let me speak. But the black people in my own community that look like me, y'all have a black governor, a black mayor, black officers, and the guy who has a differing viewpoint can't speak in your school board meeting? You are defrauding me of my freedom of speech. This is the issue with why we have failing schools in Baltimore, because no one wants to change. Let's protect the CEO of Baltimore Public Schools, who makes $479,000 a year. The kids can't read, but she makes $500,000 a year. This is not right. This is this.
All right, baby, that's public schools for you. Public schools for, I'm going somewhere. I promise you I'm going somewhere, okay? Let's go right here. I know Craig, you got an action. I'm going to try to get to it here in the morning. Here's what it is. Pull up number. Whoops, hang on. I think that's a different. I think I said standalone when I sent to you. Pull up Satan's weapons. Hey, friends, are you looking at me? You looking at me? This is just me. This is just me, Coach Dave. I'm 71 years old. Is that right, honey? 71? 52? Yeah, I'll be 72 coming up here in November. I'll be 72 years old. I went to my grandson's third birthday yesterday. And I look around at the world and I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? What am I leaving to my children's children? Which it tells us, Psalm 71, I think it is, that a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Psalm 78. Wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And I look around at these 10 beautiful little human beings that God has gifted into my life, and to realize that, talking to all of y'all out there, you get up in the morning on Sunday morning and you go to church and you go to a congregation of people where the guy standing in the pulpit never mentions or has a plan for all this wicked stuff that's going on around them. Never a plan. The only plan is, I'm sorry if I step on toes, the only plan is evacuation. Evacuation will soon be out of here. Now, I'm not making fun of that rapture. You can get mad about me if you want to. That's not my point. My point is this. A wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Psalm 78, throw it up there real quick. Throw it up there, Psalm 78. And this is where the American church is, and it causes me headache after headache after headache as I look around at what's going on, and there ain't nobody doing anything. And if I stand up and I speak up, I'm the weirdo. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. I'm the weirdo. I'm the weirdo.
Amen.
They're teaching this crap in our schools, and I'm the weirdo if I speak up, right? Huh? Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline ears to the words of my mouth, because I'm going to open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old. Psalm 78, which we've heard and known, and as our fathers have told us, and we will not hide those from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength, showing the Lord's strength in the midst of this dark, perverse generation, and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in the grandpa. And then he appointed a law in the nation. And he commanded the grandpas to teach them to their children. And grandpa, when you teach these laws from Jacob, from the church, to your children, they're going to teach it to their children, that the generation to come. But stop a minute, Coach Dave. Why is it the Luciferians want their theology taught to our children? Why is that we allow the Luciferians' theology to be taught to our children, but not our own children? Oh, I know why. I know why. Because they commanded our fathers they should make it known to their children. They didn't do it. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born. And they would rise up and they'd declare it to their kids. Send them to government schools. They teach the doctrines of demons in the government schools. And then we understand why everything is a mess. Why Haitians and Mexicans can come in here and eat ducks out of the city park. The generation to come might know them. Even the children which should be born would arise and declare to their children that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be like their daddies, a stubborn and rebellious generation, make love, not war, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And like the children of Ephraim, daddies were armed with and carried bows, but they wouldn't pull the trigger. They kept not the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. They forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Boom, there it is. There it is. There it is. So I'm going to do something this morning that you probably never, ever heard before. I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about Satan. I'm going to, hang on a second. When's the last time you had a sermon on Satan in your church? The Bible says that we are not ignorant of his devices. Would you guys say it's true? Are American Christians today ignorant of his devices? Do the American Christians, as they look on the landscape of what's going on, do they see what Satan is doing? Do they see? No. Do you think, how many people do you suppose that you come in contact with on a daily basis who actually believe that there's a Satan and that there are angels? How many do you think probably? Oh, they'll mouth it. But do they really? They really believe it? I watch Randy go out and stake. I watch Craig Mickle go do all these great and wonderful things, and people show up and speak, and things begin to happen. And the average Christian church would think those guys are nuts. Huh? Somebody help me out here. Why would you go do that? Why would you ever go do that? I wouldn't want to do that. You're supposed to love everybody, right? So the seven favorite weapons of Satan, this is just put out there by Harold Herring. I don't know. I got several of them here today. Okay? Remember Coach Dave said lies, deception, and fear, oh my? Lies, deception, and fear. He just started with those three things. Lies, deception, and fear, oh my. Lies, deception, and fear. Oh my. So the seven, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds. And we don't even know what those weapons are. Somebody boom, Vinny. Just somebody give me a boom so I know somebody's listening.
Boom.
All right, good.
Amen, Coach.
I know. I'm telling you the truth. I don't care what you think. So, seven favorite weapons, according to Harold Herring. Number one, deception. Huh? Yeah, deception. Yeah. Think the elections would be fair. Not in our state. It's not. Yeah, I understand, Coach Dave, but that's not happening in our schools. We're not. No, they're not teaching that transgenderism in our schools. We have a good school. Yeah. Huh? Deception. Number two. Oh, boy. Going down. I'll give you the scriptures. I'll put it in the chat. You can read it later. Go to the next one. Number two. Distractions. Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you go. You think your school's really good because you go to the football game. The football team's good and the band's good. You got a good choir. And by the way, your second grade teacher, your daughter's second grade teacher, well, she goes to church. She's a good woman. She's a good Christian. And so you look at exceptions and think that's a rule. So you got one good elementary school teacher who's a Christian, therefore the schools are okay. My daughter's okay. Distractions. Number three, you could read all this stuff. There's a lot of good stuff in here. I'm not going to take that. Number three, delays. Huh? Delays. Yeah. We want God to do it right now. If he doesn't do it right now, I wonder if he's taking a nap or whatever. It's got to be done on time and for purpose. Next one, go. Four. Come on. Take this and read it later on. I'm going to go read all of it. Four, Satan uses disappointment. See, disappointment, because you don't understand the timing of God, disappointment sucks the energy out of you. So you go, and Jeff goes and stands up at the school board meeting, and he lays out what's going on, lays all the problems out, and the week later, the school board does the exact opposite, and Jeff says, oh, geez. And so then what happens? Jeff gets discouraged. He gets discouraged. Well, it didn't make any difference. It really, didn't make any difference. Can I tell you a real quick story? Gosh, of course I can. It's my show. I got an email, I don't know, a few years ago from a guy who just became head football coach at a school, I won't even say it, a school down by Zane, by Springfield, where all this eating ducks is going on. It's about 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. And he said, he wrote to me an email, Coach Dave, thank you for coming. You may not remember this, but when I was in the fourth grade, you came to my fourth grade class and you brought a football helmet and shoulder pads and you talked about what football players do, yada, yada, yada. And Coach Dave, I want you to know that I never forgot that. And I was just named head football coach at this school. And I think, are you kidding me? You mean I planted that seed when that guy was in the fourth grade? I didn't even know it. And it took 20 years to grow. Won't keep planting. Go to the next one. Go on. Discouragement. Oh, man. Oh, man. Browns got beat yesterday. Enough to make you never watch them again. I was discouraged. Next one down, Spencer. Come on. Come on. Come on. Depression. Yeah. Discouragement leads to depression. Go on down. Number 7. As this is you, debt. Woo-wee. Debt. Get yourself owing a lot of people a lot of things. Man, oh man, there's no liberty in it. Folks, it's about perseverance, overcoming. Man, I could do some preaching today, that's for sure. Gene Schroeder, come on in, Gene.
Yeah, you were saying that churches teach about the Christianity. I went to church, I've been going to, and the minister brought up this last Sunday that he talked about the worldviews of that collide. He talked about the biblical view of God and secular view. And he said 70% of American people say they're Christians. But less than 20%, if I'm getting the figures right, but it was low. Less than 20% of those 70% believe that God is relevant in our lives. And then only 10, and less than 10% believe the devil really exists.
And so they're not going to fight if they don't think that enemy exists. Would that be right?
Yeah.
Amen. No activity in the church. All women, all activities in the church, inward focused. And so they're not preparing champions or warriors for the cause of Christ when they leave the church. There's no unity. In the town you live in, is there a ministerial association that makes itself known? I remember when I first got hired as football coach at Heath High School back in 1980. Rod Swank was the superintendent of schools, 1980. You guys count back that far? He hired me as football coach. And when he hired me, he's in the room. He's a real upfront guy. And he said, Coach Dave, listen, no football practice after 6 o'clock on Wednesday. He said, what? No practice after 6 o'clock on Wednesdays. Wednesdays is church night in this community. I'll never forget it. I wasn't even saved. I'm thinking, church night on Wednesday? He says, Wednesday nights belong to our pastors. Never forgot it. Never forgot it. Hell, now they're playing football on Sunday mornings, aren't they? How'd that happen? Julie, come on in.
Good morning. I remember when I was taking my kids to practice and I said they won't be there Wednesday because they go to church. And the coach's wife, she's like, I can't believe you would put God over practicing. I'm like, are you serious? So just one or the other.
Yeah. Amen. Oh, don't get me going on that one. It's my own fault. Go ahead, Jeff.
Sundays in Mount Vernon, Colt Football League. Sunday morning games start at 11, so that you can't get to church. Sunday evening games start at 3 in the afternoon or 4, I think. So you're going to miss Sunday night. And I've driven by there before, and then football fields at the high school. There's roughly, for the whole day, total people in and out of there, kids and adults, about 900 people on a Sunday at Mount Vernon.
Jeff, whose fault is that, Jeff?
The pastors.
And then help me out here, but Jeff, sitting right beside the football field, just on top of the hill, isn't there something called Mount Vernon Nazarene University? I mean, that is right there in the shadow of the football field, is it not, Jeff?
Yep. Mount Vernon Nazarene has drugs, alcohol, abortion, homosexuality, everything going on there. Now, on the other side of the school, right by the football field, they built $1 million church. I asked the pastor, I said, what do you do to stop evil right next door to you? Nothing.
Jeff, the million dollar church is the football stadium. Come on, man.
Another side now.
Side by side. No side by side. Hey, pull up number five. This kind of made me proud. Number five. You guys know who Greg Locke is? I don't know Greg Locke. I don't know him. But we know who Greg Locke is. Next one. Keep going. Keep going. Nope. 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 That's not it. Not it. Number five. Nope. Is that what you're getting on number five? No way. Yeah, probably. I believe you. There it is. There it is. There it is. Hey, I wonder if he's been reading Coach Dave's news with views. Go ahead and play this.
Church, you can get out. I don't even want you around this church. You can get out. You can get out, you demon. You can get out, you baby butchering election thief. You cannot be a Christian and vote Democrat in this nation. I don't care how mad that makes you. You get pissed off as you want to. You cannot be a Christian and vote Democrat in this nation. They are God-denying demons that butcher babies and hate this nation. They hate this nation. Get mad all you want to. I don't care if you stand. I don't care if you throw tomatoes, praise God. I'm about to throw a microphone up in his house. CNN can eat my dirty socks. You cannot be a Democrat and a Christian. You cannot. Somebody say amen. The rest of you, get out. Now, if you vote Democrat, I don't even want.
Hang on. Okay. So just ask yourself this. Have you ever heard anything even remotely like that from your pastor?
Never.
Look, I'm not a big Greg Locke fan. Okay. I'm not here waving the flag for Greg Locke. Okay. Please don't take it wrong. But at least he had the courage to do that. They had courage to do that. Hey, stay right there because you're on some good stuff. Listen to, hey, Sidney Poitier. Remember Sidney Poitier? Remember him, right? The actor? Listen to this guy. Wait a minute. Is Christianity race-based? Is there black churches and white churches? Go ahead and play this.
I would like to ask you a question. Why is it that you guys are hounds for bad news? Why is it that, it seems to me that at this moment, this day, you could ask me many questions about many positive and wonderful things that are happening in this country. But we gather here to pay court to sensationalism. We gather here to pay court to negativism. You guys have a job to do. I'm a relatively intelligent man. There are many aspects to my personality that you can explore, I think, very constructively. But you sit here and ask me such one-dimensional questions about a very tiny area of our lives. You ask me questions that fall continually within the Negro-ness of my life. You ask me questions that pertain to the narrow scope of the summer riots. I am artist, man, American, contemporary. I am an awful lot of things, so I wish you would pay me the respect due and not simply ask me about those things. I would like...
Color of his skin. Yeah, that's a good one, Sidney. Let me give you another one, and I'll get you in here, Randy. Let me get this off. It's Monday morning. Let me dump some stuff on you, okay? Pull up, where am I? I'm sorry. This is bad radio here. Bad stuff here today. Pull up for me. I don't have time to do that. Never mind. Come on in, Randy. I'll find it. Come on in, Randy.
So, Coach, listening to Sidney Poitier there, okay, he's making a point. He's pointing them out. He's actually speaking truth. So, Coach, so whenever we get questioned by, the left, the radical left, the media, whoever, we need to do the seven questions, the seven Ds you just pointed out, Coach. We need to say, are you trying to deceive? Yes. Yeah. Are you trying to distract? Yes. Are you delaying something good? Yes. Are you disappointing the people who want righteousness? Yes. Are you discouraging unity and what we need to be doing for righteousness and virtue? Yes. See, depression, causing depression? Yes. Debt? Yes. See, Coach, we have to be just as strong in their face speaking truth right back at them. That's what the church won't do. That's what Randy, we do this.
How shallow must it be to vote for somebody because they're a woman or the color of their skin? How shallow must that be?
So, Coach, so we need to learn to be like Jesus. Turn the questions, turn around their question. When they say, like he just showed us on that example. We need to do that, Coach. That's using our voice. That's using our feet. That's using our body. That's using everything we have for the kingdom of God. We need to be the offensive church, Matthew 16, 18. We do. Right. Yes, sir.
We do. Come on, man. Come on. Why are we so afraid of conflict? You know, everywhere I went to my grandson's football game yesterday afternoon, little David's 7 years old, I think. And of course, I always wear my garb, my Jesus stuff. I wore one yesterday about vaccinations yesterday, because you know why? I'm picking a freaking fight. I'm waiting for somebody to say something. And then I'm going to address all of them publicly who bring it up. But see, we're just the opposite. Why aren't you all wearing cross hats everywhere you go? Do you understand the conversation starter my cross hat is? Have any idea? And then yesterday, I don't have it in here. Yesterday, I wore J-E-S-U-S in big white letters. And you know what? People have no understanding of Christianity. No understanding. None. We are the most ignorant Christian civilization in the history of the world right now today. I got more stuff I wanted to get into. Jeff Klein, come on.
Coach, I told you what Pastor Matt's been doing. He, last two Sundays, he went right straight to John 10, the hireling. He said, I hate Satan. He said, and as a pastor, God wants me to hate. He's just fired it up.
What's he doing about it, Jeff? Other than just standing up there, what's he doing about it? I'm not arguing with you.
I know that, but listen, he's just coming around. He's coming around. So Saturday night, we go up to the tomato show in Fredericktown. I give him a new hat. I said, Pastor, I got a hat for you, right? When we pulled up there, we already even picked him up at the car lot. He gets in. I hand him his hat. I said, I'm going to give you this if you'll wear it. And the hat was the new one I got. Jesus is my savior. Trump is my president. He took that and smiled. He said, oh, brother, I'm going to wear that. He said, let's see if we can pick a fight tonight. And he stood around the streets, but we got in a lot of conversations. But he's just fired up, man. He is sick. Yeah,
our big folks, are you looking at me, friends? The biggest problem, the greatest opposition we have are lukewarm Christians.
Yep.
Lukewarm Christians are the greatest enemy we have. They will not stand with you publicly. They walk away from you. They're embarrassed that you might have Jesus Christ as the most important thing in your life. Well, I'm a Christian too, but I'm not like you. He's a fanatic. I don't know if I have time. I got 20 minutes left. I wanted to talk to you today. Can I brag a minute? Let me say, yeah, Coach, you can brag a minute. I want to talk about spiritual welfare, warfare, Mel. I didn't get to it. I want you to watch something here. My chest busted with joy. Spencer, Google 7 principalities of hell. 7 principalities of hell. And I want you to watch what pops up first at Google. Oh, that's not it. No, that's not what I want. 7 principalities. Scroll down. On mine, I could show you right now on my screen. You know what pops up on my screen? Coach Dave Live. 7 principalities of hell. Do you guys know what the 7 principalities of hell? I don't know why yours is different, Spencer. I don't know. I should have checked all that out. Do you guys know what the 7 principalities of hell are? Okay, well, let's do it real quick. I don't have time. I'm just going to cover it here real quickly. Go to number 7 for me. What are the 7 principalities? Hang on. Spencer, what's a principality? Go to Webster. It's a principality. Sovereign, supreme power. A prince. That's why they call it a principality. The territory of a prince. Superior to predominance. In scripture, royal state or attire. Jeremiah. Principalities. and powers. High above all principalities and powers, giving him a name that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Amen. And Psalm 2 says that the kings of this earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against those would be principalities and powers. Those would be principalities and powers. When's the last time you went to your little church and your pastor stood up there and taught you on hell and the demons of hell and how they operate and how they work and what they're doing all around? Anybody you ever get go hear that? Or do you go hear? I won't say that. Scroll all the way down. Spence, keep going. We'll run through them real quick. Keep going. There, nope, next one, keep going. There we are. Huh? This is Doc Marquis. And by the way, I did a show on this in 21. Maybe I'll do another. Do you guys know these? Do you guys know who the principalities of hell are? Huh? It's funny because the Cleveland Browns were playing. Who'd they play yesterday? I didn't care. I was so daggone mad. Couldn't hardly watch it. They watched the Cowboys. You know what? I knew who the Cowboys' weapons were. I knew who their good wide receiver was and their running back and their corner. I knew who they were. And I knew that if the Browns were going to win, they had to stop those good players. Had to stop those. And we're in a spiritual war, and we don't even know the principalities. We don't even know who they are. This is from Doc Marquis, and we'll run down through it real quickly. First one, Rage. He's the general of the occult. He directs the use of such drugs as marijuana, hashish, cocaine, speed, LSD, peyote, mescaline. These are drugs of sorcery. So Reg is the general of the occult. Go to the next one. Number two, seven principalities of hell. Lars, the demon of sexual lust. Anybody seen that guy anywhere? Anybody seen the impact of Lars anywhere? Demon of sexual lust, homosexuality, bisexual, adultery. Anybody seen any of him anywhere?
Amen.
I've been talking to you about that in your church. And they make fun of Randy and he goes stakes, and they make fun of Craig when he does these declarations. Oh yeah, they make fun of those guys. What are they doing as they go home and watch pornography on the computer? That's all right. Don't send me any emails. Then third one is Bacchus. He's the demon of addiction. Are you kidding me? You mean that guy that makes you put your phone right here all day long? Talk about that guy? That'd be a demon? Huh? You mean your grandkids sitting around doing this all day on your computer? Huh? What's he? Back as demon of addictions. Then there's Pan. Well, he's the demon of the mind. Yeah, he causes mental illness, depression, suicide, nerves, rejection. Have you noticed when a person becomes depressed or feels rejected, he'll turn to drugs or something else that will eventually make him addictive? What? Really? The demon of the mind. I wonder if he's loose in America's public schools. I wonder if the pastor standing in the pulpit mentions that Pan is in the public schools, and you better get your children away from him. Number five. Oh, Pan, I said a demon of the mind. Number five, Medit. He's the demon of hate, of murder, of killing, of war, of jealousy, envy, and gossip. You ever heard anything like this ever? Anybody ever teach you, weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds? Anybody ever teach you this? Number six, Set. He's the demon of death. Oh, yeah, there really is such a thing. Wars, terrorism, abortion. It's a demon. It's demonic. And then seven, Christian demon. Oh, yeah. This particular demon, he don't have a name, but he's so powerful that most witches won't even bother him. Getting Christians to talk about each other through gossip, causing strife within the church, amongst brethren. He'll also try to weaken a Christian's walk with the Lord and making him content, fail to live up to his commitments, such as tithing, soul winning, church participation, and much more. Oh, yeah. Seven principalities of hell. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Wouldn't it be a good idea if we knew what they were? What's Psalm 2 say, Spence? Come on, man, I'm on a roll. Psalm 2, what is that? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? For the kings of this earth They're not talking about some guy in England, France. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers of the world, dark world, take counsel together in a war against the Lord. And, oh, by the way, against you, Gene. Not against you, Betty. Against the Lord and against you, Al. Against you, Randy. Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they said, let's do this. Let's break those bands asunder. Let's make sure that that Christianity ain't getting in the lives of our children and grandchildren. Let's cut those cords, that daggone morality. No, we can't have any of that. So let's break their bands asunder. Let's cast away their cords from us. And he sits in the heavens laughing. Because why? He gave all power and authority. All power and authority is given unto him. Go ye therefore, teach them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. And can I tell you the truth? The church ain't teaching that. The church is teaching evacuation. I had to say it. Okay, I had to say it. The church isn't teaching occupation. It's teaching evacuation.
Boom.
Well, the entire focus of the devil is occupation. It's his entire focus.
Boom.
Oh, I know I'm making mad when I jab at you that way. Somebody come on and let me take a deep breath here before I get myself in more trouble. Come on in, somebody. Come on, somebody. Somebody rescue me. Oh, me or oh, my, me. Lynn, come on in. You ever heard this in church, Lynn? Last sermon you heard on this.
I'm going to tell you something, sir. When Jesus Christ said it is finished, he gave the keys of death and hell to us on earth now. We are not going to be an authority. We are an authority in Jesus' name to take down the idols of Baal in Jesus' name.
Amen. That's what we're supposed to do. Is that the message you're hearing in your church? Huh? Has your church, I can't believe, well, I'm as guilty as everybody else. If they didn't hate me so much, I'd organize all the pastors around here. Say, dudes, let's all go to war. And all of our congregations, let's go to war on this issue. Does anybody doubt we'd win? Does anybody out there doubt we would win? If every church, every denomination, all picked a topic and said, we are going to crush this spirit in our community, does anybody doubt that it would happen? So why don't they? Let's ask Pastor Clint. Maybe he can help us. Come on in, Clint. Hey, Clint, I love you, man. I ain't talking about you.
I know you're not, Coach. But, yeah, I've already tried that. No, we wouldn't win. We wouldn't get any pastors because I've been trying to do that. And it is unbelievable. It is absolutely unbelievable the deadness that are in our pastors.
Boy.
I wish something would set a fire under them. The potential, and I know, you know, there's a few pastors that I know, and the potential is there, but my gosh, they are just, I don't know either.
Let me ask Randy here real quickly, Clint. Hey, Randy, you guys are out staking, if I understand this right. You're going stake. You just did another one this last weekend. Randy, as you're getting some victories, as victories begin to come, courts are starting to win some battles. Randy, are just curious, are people knocking on your door, asking you to come speak in the church and explain what's going on? Yeah, are you getting any of those, Randy?
Coach, I love you. No, Coach, not very many. But, Coach, did you hear Lynn Garner right there? Did you hear her spirit woman speaking out with with authority? That's who. That's one of our people that usually goes with us and does this. So, Coach, I didn't make her that way. But because her heart has turned to get in the fight with Holy Spirit in this time, this is who she's become. I didn't recruit her. I haven't recruited anybody, Coach. But it's just like you as a coach. When a great player has a great coach, he wants to go play for that coach and win because you want to win a championship. Coach, the people are going to come out of the churches. Pastor Clint, this is for you. They're coming out of the dead churches. This is God is raising up the remnant. And he's going to put together the ones who will go out and engage the culture and lay his kingdom message everywhere they go. And the church will rebuild around that. That is what's coming. The dead church is on the way out. And the activist church of Matthew 16, 18, Coach, that is the church that's coming out of the four walls right now as we're speaking.
And
Pastor Clint, God bless you. Just keep speaking the power of the gospel, the power. Paul said, Coach, I didn't come in just pretty words. I came in power.
Demonstration and power.
Amen, Coach.
Well, you know, yesterday I preached when Samuel told Saul, you know, you're finished as king. Saul wanted Samuel to walk out with him. And if you'll read that, he says, you know, come out with me. And because he wanted to look good in front of the people. Then I preached about how our school systems want to look good among the people, because everybody around here, you know, we had a gun threat in Franklin County, and everybody's wanting to get together and pray. I said, but last week they wouldn't let them pray. So you want to pray outside? And I said, it's all lies. They're wanting to pray now. God ain't going to listen to them when they're teaching. And, you know, you can be a dog or you can be a cat, or homosexuality is good. And junk they have in the libraries is absolutely demonic for our children. And then they want to pray. They want to look good in front of the people, but they're demons inside.
Amen. 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 I love it. I love it. Hey, Spencer, real quick, bring up my personal Facebook page. My personal Facebook page. You can get to that. Lynn, come on in.
You want an answer as to why the pastors are not speaking? Because God has taken their candlestick because they refuse to preach the light of the world.
Amen. The candlestick's being removed. Spencer, amen. Go up there. Go up right there. Click on that one, Spencer. Hey, folks. That's Declan's birthday. I want you to look yesterday. I'm going to show you some pictures. That's my daughter Maggie and her husband. There's Declan at his third birthday. I'm going to show you something. Watch. Keep going. Look at that. Huh?
Boom.
Got a sword in his hand, baby. Got a sword in his hand. Hey, he ain't going to be no transgender. Anybody want to argue with that one? He put the stuff on. He put it on. We didn't make him wear it. He put on the full armor of God, baby. He was ready to go to. Can you guys read what's on the shirt of that little 3-year-old?
Jesus saves.
Jesus saves. And he's got the sword, and he's got on the breastplate, and he's ready to go to war if needed at 3 years old. What a picture that is, huh? What a picture that is. Somebody come on in, rescue me, because I'll get on another rant and then I'll start sweating. I'll need to take a shower. And Dale, go ahead.
Well, I want to give you a spiritual visual of what's happening, Coach, and it's in the book of Acts chapter 5. This is the fate of Ananias and Sapphira. Remember that, you know, we're going to bring alms. These are the people who had the first seats in the house. This is the way old religion worked. And when they came in with deception in their heart, Peter looked at him and he told Ananias, he says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit, right? And he died. But was really cool, depending on your translation, when his wife came in, Sapphira, and she lied, Peter looked at her and said, the same young men who have taken your husband out will remove your dead carcass also. This is what's happening, Coach. Old dead church religion, it's getting hauled out. It's dead. It's got to be removed from the house of God. And the Holy Spirit, the young men sat there, looked at Peter, and they were amazed.
Boom, Dale.
Amen.
Oh, you guys. You get me too excited here, huh? Betty, come on in.
Quick, Coach, ahead, we had ahead. A young couple come with their whole family yesterday. They used to be youth pastors at this one of those churches. And man, let me tell you what, they were so overjoyed to be refreshed yesterday. And we got to talking afterwards. I said, oh, no, we didn't close down for COVID. We had crawfish boils. And they go, oh, my gosh, I wish we had known you guys beforehand. Coach, God is doing something in that little church. We're having visitors and guests, and everybody's being refreshed because we go outside of the four walls. And we still got people who go down to the French Quarter every week, brother, and preach the gospel.
And the scripture says if the trumpet blast is uncertain, who will go to war? And ask yourself this, is the blast from the pulpit certain? Certain means specific. If the trumpet blast is not specific, who will go to war? You blow that trumpet, they know it's war. They understand. Betty.
Good morning. Happy birthday, morning. Declan. Congratulations to Clay. Clay, I'm heading back from Sioux Falls, and I want to say how important staking is. So I ended up staking the place where they had the reception, you know, their dinner before the night before the wedding. And so I couldn't find a place, so I threw Psalms 91 on rocks into flower beds and spoke Psalms 91 and some prayers. And so I go in, and my brother and some of the family just wouldn't talk to me. So I went up to him and said, hi, how are you doing? He said, I'm good. What's it to you? And I went, whoa. I said, well, you're looking a little chunky, so I'm just concerned. Are you okay? He said, yeah, I'm fine. So he said, how are you doing? So I said, well, God is great, and I am doing great. And so I turned around and said, see you later. God bless you. So the next night when the wedding was going on, couldn't find no place to put those Psalms 91, and I was praying all over. So I put them on the defibrillator by the bathroom because it's real high. Nobody could see it. You know, my brother and some of my members, they wouldn't even look at me. It was just unbelievable.
If you are zealous for the faith, you will make more enemies in the church than any place there is. If you're zealous.
Exactly.
Amen. Amen.
And I thought it was crazy being at a Catholic church that they didn't hail Mary. I said, thank you, Jesus, because we're supposed to hail Jesus and not Amen. Mary. So it was crazy, an hour and a half, and they never once hailed Mary.
Good. Clint.
Coach, you got me fired up this morning.
Good.
But talking about staking real quick, and the Memorial Day in May before the Guidestones fell in July, we had our church, Sunday morning church service down there at the Guidestones.
How about that, huh?
And we staked it. And I'm telling you, there is something to staking.
There is,
and
baby.
I wanted to say that. And I wonder how many, you know, everybody on Facebook is mad at the school boards. And I told my congregation, I wonder how many people will be up at the school boards this month. They'll won't be standing room, but how many kids they're raising sand about the, you know, all these shootings and threats, but how many of them put them right back in those schools this morning?
Yeah.
I bet there's not a one that said, you're not going back.
Not a one. Hey, so Clint, here's your next one, brother. Good pastors have to figure out a way to help their children get out of government school. Somewhere at your church, a homeschool co-op, whatever it is, pastors,
we do not have but one family left that is not homeschooling in our church, in our entire church.
Wow.
One family. And they're wanting to. They're
get your daughter in here. Hurry up, Beth, come on in.
I was going to follow up. You know, we always talk about pulling the kids out, but how many educators are standing in front of these kids, leading them astray knowingly, yet go in the church and praise God every Sunday? If you are an educator and you are a Christian, get out.
Boy, we're picking fights today, aren't we? God bless you. Got to run. See you tomorrow.